The Christian is married to Jesus, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to think about the privileges of our union with Jesus. Christian, is it not a matter of wonder and praise to think, I am married to Jesus? Doesn't that strengthen your faith? And isn't it comforting to know that Jesus will never dump you, will never divorce you? If you're a Christian tonight, you are married to Jesus. And my first point is that if you're married to him, his name becomes our name. That usually happens when a woman gets married, she takes on the name of a husband. Now, I know there are exceptions these days, but it usually happens. And we are called Christians, Christ's ones, people who belong to him. As the bride leaves her parents' home to be united with her husband, so we leave much of godless society behind in order to celebrate our union with the Lord Jesus. We take on his name. Now, Jesus' name is the greatest name in heaven or on earth. There is no greater title. There is no higher position. You know the verse, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven or on earth or under the earth. And you take on that name, that greatest name in heaven. That great name is ours. There are no greater titles. There's no greater honor. Are you interested in honors? Do you look at the New Year's honors list to see if your names come up? And you say, oh, they've overlooked me again. I must ask Neil to write up and tell him what a good guy I am. Now, Jesus gives you the name of the highest rank of all in earth and heaven. So never, never apologize for being a Christian. Never be embarrassed that people know you belong to Jesus. Rather be proud. The Lord of heaven and earth loves me and shares his name and his position with me. Let him that boasts in the Lord. I have the name of Jesus. I'm united with him. A deacon in my first church was so proud to tell me that his eldest son, was courting, and the girl came from the top drawer in society. And he was so proud that he was marrying into this big family. I'm happy to tell you the girl dumped him. We should be more so proud that we are joined to Jesus. If you want a good August read, read the life story of Billy Bray. He was a tin miner in Cornwall. And he became a Christian, and he was so full of joy, he wouldn't shut up. He loved singing, and they used to tell him, Billy Bray, if you don't shut up, we'll put you in a barrel. And he said, if you put me in a barrel, I'll shout hallelujah through the bunghole. So he was so keen for people to come to Jesus, he built chapels all over Cornwall. He wasn't much of an architect, let me tell you. So to get money for these chapels, he would knock on the doors of the big houses. And the butler would come and say, around to the servants' entrance. And he said, oh, no. I'm a king's son. I belong to Jesus. I'm not going around the king's entrance, to the tradesman's entrance. So realize that you might belong to another, even him who's raised from the dead. You are married to Jesus. He gives you his name. And secondly, his position becomes your position. You are standing in heaven. Now, in one of my churches, there were a number of doctors. And every Christmas, all these medics got together for a Christmas meal. One of the most junior doctors in the town, in the city, he was invited to this Christmas meal, but he had to sit near the door with his wife, away from the big table. And every year, as other junior doctors came into the town, so he moved up a few places. And his wife moved up with him. And then he wrote a learned thesis on aging and got a further degree. And now he jumped a few tables. And his wife jumped a few positions with him. So you've got the position. The wife shared the standing and the position of a husband. When he was promoted, she was promoted. And that's exactly what the Bible says about our union with Jesus. Christ Jesus, who has become to us, come for us, the wisdom of God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. So Jesus is the husband and gives to his bride, that's you and I, his righteousness. We could never approach God in our own righteousness. His righteousness is imputed to us. And he gives to us his wisdom. And he gives to us his holiness. And he gives to us his redemption. Whatever happens to Jesus, happens to us. So when you are feeling unworthy, or you're feeling a failure as a Christian, then you look inward and you look at your progress as a Christian and it depresses you. You counter that immediately by saying, I am married to Jesus and his righteousness is my righteousness. And that's the cure for depression. I may my fierce accuser face and tell him thou hast died. Now listen to this. Ephesians 4:2 says this. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in order to show the incomparable riches of his grace. So God has raised us up with Christ in heavenly realms. Now that's how God sees us. For the time being, we're stuck here down on this earth. It doesn't say when you die, God will raise you up into heavenly realms. It says now. Now you are joined to Christ. In God's eyes, you are raised up with Christ. What a privilege. Top lady could write the hymn, more happy, but yet more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. The good folks in heaven are happier than we are. They don't have aged bodies and sickness and all the rest of this. But they are not more secure. I am married to Christ. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to divorce me. So because I'm married to Christ, his name becomes mine. His position becomes mine. And because I'm married to Christ, I have access to his Father. Now there's an American lady, and she's a mixed race lady, but she has access to the Queen of England. Or Queen of Britain. Why? Because Meghan Markle has married Prince Harry. And because you are joined to the Son of God, you have access at all times to your Heavenly Father. Now, there are times when we all find praying difficult. And when you find praying difficult, remind yourself of this. I have the right of entry to go into the presence of the King of Kings. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, sometimes I'm a failing Christian, but I'm accepted in the Beloved. For Jesus' sake, he welcomes his bride. I'm accepted in the Beloved. As the bride of Christ, I can go into the presence of the Creator of the universe, beyond time, beyond time. I can go into his presence. I can go into the presence of the judge of every man. And I know I can be welcomed. He will always listen to me. And he will never refuse me anything that's for my good. Yes, he will refuse me certain of my prayers because he knows they will be harmful. So go to him with confidence. You are welcomed. You're accepted in the Beloved. We're looking at the privileges of being married to Christ. I share his name, I share his position, I have access to his Father, and I have security guards. Angels serve us. Now, Meghan Markle had to get used to having bodyguards with her whenever she left her home. Now look, we read this. When Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, angels attended him. He was hungry, there were wild beasts there, and angels attended him. And angels helped him through Gethsemane. He realized for the first time what it was going to cost him to take on the sin of the world. He would be cut off from fellowship with his Father for the first time in eternity. Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to face the wrath of God. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. So because we are married to Jesus, because we are important people, God gives us security guards to watch over us. Now, normally we are not aware of their presence. Yet Christians facing persecution do speak of angels helping them. If you want to read another good book, read the biography of Richard Wurmbrand. He was a Baptist pastor in Romania. He spent 13 years, much of it in solitary confinement. He was taken out of his cell for punishment, and he said angels just came to him and prepared him and strengthened him so that he could face the next bout of torture. I was reading about an American missionary in trouble, and he was just so aware that an angel saved him from death. Hebrews 1 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits," that's serving spirits, "sent to serve those who inherit salvation?" So God loves his son's wife and sends angels to help us. I've never been aware of an angel in my life. And when I get to heaven, I'll just see how often God sent them. Jesus said, "I tell you that their angels, the angels of these little ones who believe in him in heaven, they always see the face of my Father in heaven." And the beggar Lazarus, when he died, angels transported him to Abraham's side. As I said, we're unconscious of them. They're unseen. But they help us with their pledge to us because we are married to Christ. And we need to remind ourselves how precious we are. And because we are VIPs, God gives us these security guards. So Jesus' name becomes ours. His position becomes ours. We have access to his Father. He sends angels to help us. And because we're the bride of Christ, we are going to reign with him. You've got a great future, a wonderful future if you're a Christian. It's an incredible future. Now society is turning away from Christians and wants to marginalize them and tell them their faith is for private life only. Once, when I first entered the ministry, Christians were respected, but not so now. And if you stick to the Bible's views, you will find society becomes quite intolerant of you sometimes. Dr. David McKerith, he's a doctor, and he worked for 26 years in the NHS as a disability assessor for the Department of Work and Pensions. And one day he said, gender is determined by biology. And because he said that, he was dismissed from his job, counted unfit to work, because he stuck to the Bible. Gender is determined by biology. And he wrote, "As a Christian, the Bible teaches us that God made human beings, male or female." And immediately he said that his contract was terminated. So society now is pushing us to one side. Society often derides Christians, ignores them, treats them as nobodies or nuisances. Now look how God treats you. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Have you got that? If you're a Christian, when Jesus judges the world, you're going to be there beside him. You're going to judge the world. And then Paul underlines it a bit more. Do you not know that we will judge angels? He's talking about the fallen angels there. So because we've got that position next to Jesus on at the right hand of God, we are going to judge men and angels. We are going to be lifted to that position which is higher than the position occupied by angels. Angels will not be judging, we will. And this brings me to another point. Because we are united with Christ, you have amazing possessions. You're rich. Corinthians says, all things are yours, if you're a Christian. The world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Well, he puts it again. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs or joint heirs with Jesus. So Jesus is going to possess the whole universe, and you're a joint heir with Jesus. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might share in his glory. Yes, friends, the meek. Whether be by meek, the Bible means those who bow before the law of God. They will inherit the world. So you have amazing possessions because you are married to Jesus, the heir of the whole universe. And now my final point. I think this is a marvelous point. This is uniquely wonderful. As the wife of Christ, he will reveal his love to you in a way that he cannot do to other people. You all know the wife goes on honeymoon with her husband, and it's a time of discovery and delight in each other. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So a wife shares intimate love with her husband, and the husband expresses his feelings and affections to his wife, special for her and for her alone. So Bernard of Clairvaux wrote in his hymn, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. So Jesus shows his love to Christians in a way he can't show it to the people walking up and down the streets of Bangor. The non-Christian knows nothing of this, God coming to him and showing his love to him. In fact, the non-Christian experiences the wrath of God. Now here is one of the most marvelous texts in the whole Bible. John says, Jesus says in John, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now listen to this. And I too will love him and show myself to him. So Jesus says, if your love is translated into obedience, there will be special times in your life when Jesus shows himself to you. He will tell you that he loves you. And these will be the highlights of your Christian life. And he repeats it. If anyone loves me and will obey my teaching, my Father will love him. And we will come to him. And now it's both Father and Son. And Jesus is there talking about the Holy Spirit. So it's the whole Trinity will come to you and tell you that you are loved. Jesus does not show his love to anyone but his bride. So Lloyd-Jones asks some personal questions now. He says, has Jesus spoken to you? Do you know the reality of which I'm speaking? And has he whispered, my beloved is mine? Now, right in the middle of your Bibles, you have a book called The Song of Songs. Don't dismiss it. Here, a bridegroom expresses his love for the bride. Don't skip over it. It's a picture of Jesus' love for the church. Christian is meant to know experimentally, experientially, Jesus' love. He will tell you in unmistakable language that he loves you with an everlasting love. And these are the greatest moments in your life. He does this when the Holy Spirit brings home to us the truths of Scripture. He tells us directly that he loves us. Yes, we can read it in the Bible and we believe it because it's in the Bible. But there's something more than that promised here. That Jesus will tell you directly that he loves you. So do you know these times when the Holy Spirit brings home to you the love of God? Lord John says, Jesus embraces us and surrounds his beloved. He lets us know more certainly than we know anything else that he loves us, and he shows us the intensity of his love. He loved us from everlasting to everlasting, before the world was made, when the world has blown itself up. He will still love us. So do you give Jesus the opportunity to show you his love? I find it's through unhurried Bible reading. Yes, I can skip through a chapter, or I can read it and read it again and then go on my knees and apply it. And it's in applying the word of God to my life, I find the Holy Spirit comes alongside me. Now, the bride in the Song of Songs, she's gone to bed, she's undressed, she doesn't want to get out of bed again. And then her lover, husband, knocks on the door. And she shouts, I'm undressed, and I've washed my feet, and I don't want to get my feet dirty again. So she doesn't open the door to him. So the disappointed husband, lover, goes away. Too late, she realizes, what a mistake, what a fool she was to refuse the love of her husband. So, too late, she gets out of bed, rushes to the door, and all she's left with is the smell of his aftershave, or his perfume in the Song of Songs. It's all she's left with. And then she goes rushing around the town, trying to find him, and she gets herself in all sorts of scrapes. Friend, we need to make time for Jesus to show us his love. Jesus will meet us in the scriptures, in unhurried reading, especially if you'll turn that unhurried reading into praise. It is as you praise God that you know the Holy Spirit warming your heart, and you know Jesus telling you he loves you. It's the prayerful application of the word of God to your life. He meets you. As you kneel in obedience, he meets you as you give yourself to worship. Give Jesus time. Give Jesus place. Give Jesus opportunity. Do you look for him? Do you expect him? Do you allow him these opportunities to speak to you? You're married to him, and he will come to you and tell you personally that he loves you. So let's bring it to a conclusion. Isn't it wonderful to think that we are married to Jesus? Can you think of a greater privilege than that? Doesn't that strengthen your faith? Doesn't that comfort you? Isn't it great to know, yes, I might face ill health, yes, people might change, but Jesus will never change in his love towards me? And is it not the greatest joy in life when Jesus himself comes to you and tells you he loves you? So let's sum it up. Because you are married to Jesus, his name becomes yours, his position becomes yours, you have access to his Father, he sends his angels to guard you, and you will reign with him forever. And you are joint heirs with Christ, and you will possess heaven and earth and the universe because they belong to him. Now what a great thing it is to be a Christian. Never think it's a miserable thing to be a Christian. Isn't it absolutely great? Can you think of anything greater than what I've been telling you tonight? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus. And as we come to the communion table, we thank you that he paid such a price to win us as his bride. And help us as we take the bread and wine to do it thoughtfully, and to lift up our hearts in praise to him. Amen.